the Lord. And while he was worshiping the Lord and the Lord gave him the law, down below the people were living in debauchery. They were worshiping a false god. Moses comes down off the mountain and in anger he throws the tablets that the law of God was written upon and breaks them. This is the second time that he is going to be invited up to Mount Sinai. God told the people, told Moses again, I want you to lead the people to the promised land and I'll go with you before you. But because these people are stiff-necked people, I'm going to consume them. And therefore the people mourned and added to Moses' angst. So Moses is frustrated at the people. They're stiff-necked people. They complain about everything. God gives them manna. They complain about it. God does this. They complain about it. We don't like this. We don't like the food. We don't like this style. We don't like that style. And so on and so forth. And he's frustrated at the people. Part of Moses wants God to go ahead and wipe them out so he don't have to deal with them. It's called humanity. That's the way we think. But a part of him, on the other hand, is fearful because he stands between this people and God. He is the representative, and he knows what God can do. He knows what God will do if these people continue down the path they're going. So this ball of emotion goes into the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord fills the place. And there's a cloud, a pillar of cloud outside the tabernacle, and all the people come to the edge or the door of their houses or their tents while Moses is in there with the Lord. And God is telling Moses that he is going to be with him. And Moses, with all of these emotions in him, he says, show me your way. Show me your way that I might know you, that I might know your way, and I might find grace in your sight. And consider this nation your people. And God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. Because if you're not with us, we're not going to make it even 100 steps. That's 100 steps is my paraphrase. And so God says, Moses, I'm going to do this thing you have spoken because you have found grace in my sight. And I know you by name. And Moses, I think with a quivering lip and with a tear running down his cheek, says to the Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And it's amazing. God says, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Moses says, show me your glory. And God says, I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. And listen, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Then he goes on to say, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Paul quotes that in Romans chapter 9 in talking about the sovereignty of God and the Jewish people. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. It's interesting today, church, we have the same problem they had back then. And the problem is this, the further we get away from God's glory, the more we concentrate and focus on ourselves, on our problems, on our likes and our dislikes. And we're dying because of it. Last week, I had the privilege of sitting on a balcony at about 5:30. Every morning, I got up and I watched the sun rise and I waited for the sun to come up so I could read my Bible. And I saw the splendor. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament his handiwork. As I watched that sunrise and I looked out over that vast ocean, I saw God's glory. I saw a display of God's glory. All around us, the creative work God's glory. Some hour later, I was reading my Bible, and I could smell marijuana so bad, I thought I was going to get a contact buzz. And I thought, how have we come to this place in our lives where we have to over-medicate all these things and do all these drugs and alcohol and everything, all because we have never experienced the glory of God? There's one thing the Bible says will transform us into glory, the glory of God. But we have made God so small in our churches. We just came back from a fabulous camp 2 weeks ago. 9 kids were saved, and of those 9 kids, each one worked with a counselor one-on-one. They understood what the Scripture says. They came to faith in Christ, and there will be some who will probably complain about one of the things that we were doing or something or other that amounts to nothing. We've missed the glory of God. We missed the glory of God. God visited us and saved 9 children, and we miss the glory of God. We mumble. We don't want bread. God's given us manna. And we wonder about all these other things. We should do this. We shouldn't do this. We miss the glory of God. There are churches, and you and I have seen them, and they have smoke machines, and they have the most talented musicians. And they can be in a church service and miss the glory of God. Moses is frustrated. God, show me your glory. And God says, I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to tell you what. Notice what he says. You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. I was listening to a sermon by Dr. Stephen Lawson, and he was preaching as I was coming home on the airplane, and I always listen to the subject I'm going to preach and try to get filled with guys who have a touch of God on their hand. And he said that he was with Dr. John MacArthur, and a preacher came up to him at a pastor's conference and said, hey, I was shaving this morning and God appeared. And John MacArthur said, did you continue to shave? And the man said, yes. He said, then God didn't show up. He said, the Bible teaches us that when John saw the resurrected Christ on the Isle of Patmos, he fell at his feet as though he were dead. That false prophet, and the Bible says that we can call them out by name, Jesse Duplantis. They call him the Raging Cajun. And he is famous and has all kinds of money, has all kinds of people that follow him, airplanes and all that stuff. And he tells one time I watched in dismay. He's in a packed house in a coliseum and people everywhere. And he was saying that Jesus came down and rode on the back of his Harley with him. And then Jesse said, well, what are you doing here? And he said, I just wanted to spend the day with you and be happy. And they went to Burger King. Such filth is being put out. It's almost laughable. If it weren't such blasphemy, it would be laughable. If you're on your motorcycle and Jesus appeared to you, you would get off that motorcycle. There's nothing wrong with riding motorcycles. And that's not my point. My point is, he was saying that he was with God, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, physically, and God just wanted to spend the day with him. And people were buying it, hook, line, and sinker. We've lost sight of the glory of God. In the Bible, listen, the glory of God, if you saw the glory of God, you would die. Die. I'm talking about no breath in your lungs, dead. Not sleeping, dead. But his glory is so magnificent. I mean, magnificent, I should say. His glory is unrivaled by anything else. In the Bible, the scholars will tell us there are 2 types of glory. There's intrinsic glory. Now, follow along. I want to explain this plain and simple. Intrinsic glory simply means that it is the sum total of all of his attributes, all of his characteristics, is combined into his glory. For instance, if you will look with me in chapter 34, I didn't have it up there, Moses 34, I apologize, and verse 5, "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God," now watch this, "merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty," he's just, "visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation." In that description, all of God's attributes, His mercy, His goodness, His love, His justice, His wrath, it's all accompanied in who He is. That is the glory of God. Intrinsic glory of God is who God is. All that He is, creator, sustainer, giver of life. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, just, holy, righteous. Everything He is the glory of God. And then second is what we call the ascribed glory. What we just did a few moments ago is ascribed glory. It's ascribing, it's giving praise or glorifying the Lord. See, the issue is not the music. The issue is not whether you like it or don't like it. The issue is, have you experienced God's glory? Because none of that matters when you get raptured in the awe of an almighty God. It doesn't matter. If we put our preferences above the almighty God, we have missed the glory of God. And frankly, I'll just be honest with you, we don't need more of man's inventions and contraptions. We need the glory of God. You know the greatest instrument ever created is your voice. God created your voice. You said, you haven't heard me sing. Well, God made you that way, so apparently He doesn't want you to sing. Maybe you, if you could sing, would be cocky. I don't know. I would. I just know if I could play the piano and sing and I'm one of those pastors, I'd be preaching. I'd have one of them microphones on. I'd be like, I'm going to play something for you. You know. And you're laughing because you know it's true. So God says, you're going to do good to play the radio, son. That's an amen back there, Jed. But my point is this, guys. Listen to me. Ascribing glory, praise, and honor. It's not something we do to fill the service. I remember I was driving down the road one time, and there was a girl in one of them little toaster oven cars. You know what I'm talking about? It looks like a little toaster. And she's driving. She's driving down through there, and the car's going like this, and then I can see her going like this inside there. And I get up, and I roll down my window, and I'm kind of, you know, that sanctified listening, eavesdropping, you know, seeing what's going on in her car. And suddenly she had Caleb, and she was just enjoying herself like nobody was around in the world. And I thought, you know, how many people laugh at her and make fun of her, but she's probably just wrapped up in the glory of her Lord and she could care less. I'm telling you guys, we've lost sight of the glory of God. These people complain. These people wore the soul of Moses out, and Moses stands between the people and God, and he's fearful of God and he's frustrated with the people. Some sense of him, he wants to just go ahead, God, teach him a lesson. But then he looks at God and he's humbled. And he says, God, show me your glory. And God says, listen, you can't see my face. But notice what he says. But I got a place by me. Verse 21, and the Lord said, here is a place by me. By me. The God of all glory. The one that you cannot look at with, and unless you will die. Says, I have a place for you. By me. And you shall stand on the rock. So shall it be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So God puts him in the crack. And God puts his hand over the crack, and as he goes by, He removes it. And Moses sees, he sees it. He sees the glory of God. And his face shone. And Exodus chapter 34 tells us that he had to put a veil on his face because the people were scared of Moses. But when we come to the New Testament, we find out that he put a veil over his face because it was passing by. It was only short term, speaking of the old covenant. And then we come to the New Testament and we find out there's a new covenant that will be here forever. And the old covenant is done away with. And the new is much better than the old. And you don't need a veil for the new because the new's not passing away. The old, you need a veil. So that the people didn't know it was passing away. And all those, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the veil is gone and they can see the glory of the Lord. How gracious is our God? Do you know what I've done, preacher? Do you know what I've done? Do you know that God is loving and forgiving? If you are willing to repent and come clean, He is willing to forgive you of all of your sins. The same God that said, "No one can see me and live," is the same God that extends salvation to those who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. Same God. Same God. And we fuss and we fight over immaterial things. And God comes by and proclaimed His name and revealed His character. See, if we're going to know anything about God, He has to reveal it to us. You say, that's great, but what does that have to do with us? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says this, in verse 18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now listen to me. God wants you to be transformed. God wants you to be transformed. God loves you the way you are, but He loves you too much to let you remain the way you are. He takes you, and when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you pass from death unto life. And then from then on, God wants to conform you into the image of His dear Son. He does not want you to be identified with your old self. He wants you to be identified with His Son, Christ Jesus. And that's the whole argument. Paul begins, now hang with me just for a moment. I'm gonna land a plane here in a minute, and you can go eat. Just give me these few minutes, please. Just give me these few minutes. Paul starts off in chapter 3 of confirming his apostleship. And he talks about the old covenant versus the new covenant. In verse 7, the old covenant was a covenant of death. But the new covenant is life. And he says to us, because I want to know what this mirror is. If I look into the mirror, the Bible tells me, and I see the glory of the Lord, and it transforms me, I want to know what the mirror is. Tell me what the mirror is, because I want to see the mirror. It's not me. It's not reflecting my image back to me. Because there's no glory in me. What is he talking about? He goes on to tell us that the old is going to pass away and the new is coming. And the new, when you are a believer in Christ, the veil has been taken away. Verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." What is he talking about? What is this mirror, if I look, but we all with an unveiled face? He's talking to believers because our face is unveiled. He said earlier that when we believe in Christ, the veil is taken away. And he says, "Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." How am I to see the glory of the Lord? How am I to be transformed? How am I to be changed? This is the mirror. This is the mirror. This reveals God. If God is going to tell us if we are going to know anything about God, God has to reveal it. And He has revealed it to us in the Word. That's why I continually ask you and try to encourage you to read the Bible. And many people will tell me, "Preacher, I don't understand." Let me just tell you, the Bible says that the veil, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the veil has been taken. You might not understand it right now, but you keep reading it, and the Spirit of God will work in you, and you will understand it. He will illuminate the Scriptures to you. Just to reiterate back in verse 14, he says, "For unto this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ." Those Jews who refuse to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, they read the Torah, the Old Testament scriptures, and they don't see Christ. There's a veil. But because you're in Christ, there's no veil. So now you can read the Scriptures and you can understand the Scriptures and you can know God through the Scriptures. There is no port to which you can plug into while you sleep and be charged with the Scripture and wake up in the morning and know Scripture. You must read it. You must pick up the book and read it, because in it you will find the glory of God. And when you see the glory of God in the Word of God, you are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. How? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord that takes you from not understanding the Bible to understanding the Bible. But it's not going to happen if you don't read it. That's why I got these and I challenged you. Ask you, encourage you to get one of these. If you don't have one, there's one back there. $13. If you can't afford it, take one. Don't worry about it. The Lord will cover it. But in it has a daily reading. Wouldn't it be fascinating if we as a church together were all reading the Bible at the same place every day? You talk about transformation. What could happen to Shawnee Hills Baptist Church? Well, but wait a minute. I got to watch Fox News, Newsmax, CNN. I got to get all this. I got to watch this. Facebook, TikTok. None of that will transform you. That will conform you. This will transform you. The Word of God will transform you. And the problem with the glory of God in the churches is we're not seeing the glory of God because we're not in Scripture. We're not in the Scripture. And whether you are upset with me or not, I can't help that. That's the truth of the Word of God. And if you're not reading the Bible, you're not right with God. You shouldn't say that, preacher. I'm going to tell you that. Because how do you know God apart from His Word? He is not going to show up in your bathroom when you're shaving. He's not. And we all see these kooky people. The same guy that said he was riding on the motorcycle with Jesus, it said that he saw the feet of God. He was ushered up out of his motel room into heaven and he saw the feet of God. I just want to tell you, I think the guy's got a problem with telling the truth. Because no one has seen God. But you know what the Bible tells us? God revealed His glory in the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ. We beheld Him. We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." I was riding on the way to church this morning, and usually Keith Matheny and I, every Sunday morning, he's on his way to preach. I'm on my way to preach. We talk, we pray, we encourage each other. And he said, man, I ran into a guy that used to come to Abundant Life. Do you remember the man? I said, I vaguely remember him. He said, I ran into him, and he said, he is whacked out, man. He's telling me that Satan conceived Cain with Eve. And I said, where did you get all that? You read the Bible says, and Abraham or Adam knew his wife and they conceived a son. I said, the Bible's, where do they get this stuff? There's all kinds of weird stuff out there. Stuff that the devil wants to take people away from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the glory of the Father is in the Son. And the Bible says, if you have the Son, you have eternal life. Eternal life. But church, here's the problem. The problem is, the further we go down this road, church is more about us, more about the activities, more about our likes and dislikes and trying to attract people. That's crazy. We have to be about the glory of God. I am a dispensationalist. Three things that a dispensationalist believes. Number one, we believe in a literal interpretation of the Scripture. Number two, we believe in a distinction between Israel and the church. They're not the same. And number three, we believe that man's chief aim in life is to glorify God. Glorify God. There will not come a time when I stand before the Lord and He says, wow, your golf score was amazing. Matter of fact, there will never be a time I stand before anyone and they say, your golf score is amazing. But the point I want to make is this. He could care less about that. But the times in my life when I submitted to His will in humility and did the will of the Father and glorified God. So we see the glory of God in the Bible. We glorify God in our works. You're salt and light. We've been sent out. Matthew chapter 5 tells us that we have been sent out to glorify God in our good works, our service. You're not saved by your good works. You glorify God by your good works. You're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. But your good works you do for the glory of God. That's ascribed glory. And the more we live, the more times I run into pastors and they tell me, man, do you have enough volunteers in your church? I said, brother, I want to tell you something. I'm amazed. We had over 40 people working at church camp. And of those 40 in the kitchen, the median age of people in the kitchen was probably 65. Probably. Some of you are like, I'm you fall in that lower branch there. Just chill out. That's amazing. And we look out at church camp, we see all those kids, and camp is just one part of the ministry of this church. I look out and I think, you know, this younger generation needs to rise up. You're not the future of the church, you are the church right now. And your good works will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Eternal record. Eternal record. Nobody can cheat you out of that. On this earth, no one may give you any kind of praise and glory for it, because you don't want praise and glory. We want Him to have praise and glory. So that's what we do. We get in this Word and we worship the Lord so that we see His glory. And we serve Him so that we ascribe glory to Him. And we need some men and women who will stand up and make Christianity a priority again in their lives and say, I want to glorify God. I want to glorify God. There's plenty of opportunities to serve. I would love to have 3 and 4 workers in every Awana class this fall, working with the kids, teaching them memory verses. 3 or 4 people working. We had 3 or 4 people, we never have to work someone or never have to worry about someone getting sick at the last minute, which happens. working for the Lord, serving the Lord. You say, well, what do I do? Man, there's so much here to do. Right now, we got a problem with our gutters. We're going to have to call someone because they're leaking, leaked into the building. We can't get our hands in there to clean them out because they got a shield on there. They think the metal comes too far. They're going to have to bring the gutters out or something. We're going to have to fix that. We're not going to have a basement. We got Sunday school where people could volunteer teaching Sunday school. You say, I've never taught. Well, come and be a helper and learn. Miss Janet, how long have you taught in Awana? Miss Janet Buffington, how long have you taught in Awana? She can't hear me. That's all right. 40 years probably. Long time. How many of you were in here, had anybody in here have Janet when you were growing up? One, two, three. Put your hand down, Bill. That wasn't funny at all. Oh, you're scratching your nose. My bad. I'm sorry. It's five or six. I mean, look at that. All the kids in the back. Faithful. I'm going to brag on her. I looked out during chapel, and I saw one lady walking around church camp picking up trash while everybody else was in the air condition. One lady, Miss Janet Buffington. Glorifying God. Glorifying God. You don't have to preach or sing or teach to glorify God. You can do anything for God. Whatever you do for Him and you do it for His glory, you are glorifying God. And when we get our eyes on God, when I come in and they sing a song that I particularly don't care for, I sing it anyways because it's not about me. It's about the glory of God. This praise team puts their heart into it. They practice. And they want to glorify God. And they want to lead you to the throne. They're doing it because they love Jesus. Glorify God. Glorify God. Awana. Glorify God. I'm asking for a couple new bus drivers so we can get these two vans we got filled up and then maybe get some more. Glory of God. Our kids are being stolen away from us by the devil. And the devil's packaging it up to them and they think it's all fun and games until their life is snuffed out. The glory of God. You might be here and you might not be saved. You will not ever experience the glory of God until you come to faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, I would encourage you today, understand that you are a sinner. The reason you sin is because you are a sinner. And understand that Jesus Christ loved you so much, He was willing to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He arose from the grave. And the Bible says that all who will believe in Him will be saved. If you are a believer, let me ask you a question. Are you glorifying God? Are you glorifying God? Whatever is outside this church that you put all of your attention and effort and focus on, whatever it is outside of Christianity that you put your emphasis on is all going to pass away one day. And you will stand before the Lord for a reward or a loss of reward. Will you be able to say, God, I did everything I could for your glory? For your glory. There was a story about Donald Gray Barnhouse. He was a pastor. I think he followed James Montgomery Boyce at 10th Presbyterian Chapel. And he went back to, I think it was, I can't remember, it was one of the Ivy League schools that used to have a seminary. He went back to preach in chapel, and all the professors were sitting down front. About 5 minutes into his sermon, he was preaching, and Professor Wilson stood up. Dr. Wilson spun around on his heels and left. Donald Gray Barnhouse, he said, I was devastated. How do I recover from that? My mentor just walks out. He muddled through the service and he went down to Dr. Wilson's office and he went in and he sat down. And he said, "You've been my professor, my mentor." He said, "Continue to do that. What did I do wrong? What could I have possibly done so wrong that would cause you to get up and leave?" Dr. Wilson said, "I make an effort to listen at least one time to all the men who I've taught in seminary." He said, "In 5 minutes, I can tell you if you're a big God preacher or a big man preacher." He said, "It only took me 5 minutes to discover that you're a big God preacher and you're going to be just fine." See, what we have a lot of today is a bunch of big man preachers. Health, wealth, prosperity. How you can have your best life now, how you can do all that. That's not going to help you. What you need is God. We need some big God preachers. Talking about God. Revealing God's glory, not our glory. What we need are some men who stand behind this sacred desk and say, "Thus says the word of God." Because this is where we find God's glory. This. And I want to be a big God Christian. I don't want to talk about all the things that we do here. I want to declare the glory of God to people. Men and women. Boys and girls. All around the world. Because one day everyone, whether you believe it or not, everyone in this room will stand before Him. And what we have believed by faith will become sight. Those of us that have believed in Jesus, we'll have a glorified body. And because we have a glorified body, we will get to see His glory with our eyes. Those who have not been saved, they will stand before a righteous judge. And the Bible says that they will be damned into hell because they did not believe. They will be judged by God, sent to an eternal lake of fire. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And if anyone is there, they do not get out. There's no second chances. They go there. You say, "That seems awful harsh." No, it's harsh to ignore the attempts of a holy God that shares openly His love and His desire for you to be saved. And you reject it. That's harsh. If you're not saved, would you consider believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are saved, are you glorifying God by your good works? If not, will you join me? You can say, "I don't even know where to begin." You come see me. You and I'll sit down and pray about it. We'll figure out where you can serve and get you plugged in.